Rocket Talk, the Tour.com podcast. This is Justin Landon, and I'm joined today by Irene Gallo and editorial assistant Carl Engel Laird to talk about the big announcement. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, Tour.com is suiting up and becoming its own imprint. What that means is Tour.com will be publishing fiction from novelette length to novel length, from serials to one-offs, from purely digital to full print runs. I'm sure the question on everyone's mind, Irene, is why, or more appropriately, why now?
It just seemed the natural evolution of what Tour.com was doing. We've already been publishing for 6 years now, and doing it, hopefully doing it well. I think this past year and this current year, we've had a lot of great stuff, and we wanted to expand out on that. We wanted to go a bit more commercial. We wanted to go more sort of epic fantasy core audience, epic fantasy, hard SF, or whatever people want to read.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what Tor.com has done over the last 6 years. I mean, it's been publishing short stories, novelettes, and some novellas. Most recently, Mary Rickert's near novel. And so, what have you been doing with those stories now? I mean, kind of the scope of it. I mean, we've seen them on Tor.com, the website, but some of those have been e-booked and put on various e-book retailers as well. Correct.
They all are. Yeah. So right from the beginning, we did that. And they're all pretty much a flat fee, 99 cents for short stories. And I think it's $1.99 for novellas. And, you know, that was just for ease of use. People want to, you know, just be able to read them on their Kindles or Nooks a little easier. So that, yeah, that is something we've done from the beginning.
But up to this point, there's been no sort of intentional marketing strategy that went along with that, right?
It hasn't exactly been focus on our delivery of the stories before.
Yeah,
we've always focused on the user-facing side, which is this website.
Yeah, there was always sort of the gift of the website, and that is the big difference between what this imprint is and what we've already been doing, is that they will be fully supported. We will have a marketing department, a publicity department, that'll have an art department for it. You know, we have a very sort of fun templated covers for the short fiction that we've been doing so far, but these will be treated more like individual books. So they'll be fully marketed the way any other imprint is.
Obviously, there's lots of fans of the Tor.com short fiction line today that is, as Carl just described it, user-facing on the website. You've mentioned in the press release that will continue, but will it continue in the same way that it is now, or will some of those stories that are on the website also go through this other route?
It'll pretty much continue the way it is now. Certainly anything from short story to novelette will stay there. I think the only place where it really affects it is the novella length. We've done a few novellas. We don't technically accept novellas through our slush pile, but individual editors have acquired them. And I think at that point we will, going further, we will discuss whether or not they're better suited for the website or for this program. But we'll continue to do them in both places and just sort of debate, you know, which place they're more naturally fit. But the short fiction program with all of our editors, our fantastic editors, Ellen Dallow and Anne Vandermeer, Patrick Nielsen Hayden, Liz Gorinsky, and the rest, will continue, you know, pretty much exactly as it is.
One of the things that everybody's going to notice in the announcement is that we're talking a lot about, in the announcement, digital only, or at least digital being the focus. And I'm sure what a lot of people are going to naturally associate, at least people who are within the industry will naturally associate with, is a rather failed launch by another publisher known as Hydra, and how poorly that was received by the community. We've had a few other digital only launches within the community. One that's been substantially more successful, which is Mask Books, which is an imprint of Prime Books. But obviously we're trying to see the Tor.com line go more that direction than than the Hydra direction.
We worked very hard to make this extremely author friendly. We consulted with a couple of with authors that sort of helped us out with the contract. It's a 2-page contract. It's written as simply as we possibly could, and it really, we are only asking for rights that we can immediately utilize. So we have ebook rights, print on demand, and audio, all of which we will be utilizing right out of the gate, and that's about it. We are giving authors a choice between an advance, which I don't think Hydra did at first. So an author could take an advance, or they can choose not to take an advance and have a 40% royalty on those ebooks. And that's a 40% royalty without any sort of hidden marketing costs being subtracted for that or anything. That's a straight up 40%. So it's up to the authors which one, you know, which method will work out best for them at what point in their career. So we are trying very hard to be very author focused, very author friendly about the whole thing. And the other difference is that each title will be specifically marketed, as I said earlier. You know, we're not just going to make them available. We're going to publish them and hopefully, you know, in every sense of the word that traditionally would happen.
Audiobooks, I suspect, will be, you know, just sort of through all the channels. Will they be, you'll produce all of those sort of in-house?
We are. They will be professionally produced. They're not going to be sort of celebrity produced, but we will have an in-house professional audio publisher working on those.
Unless Mary Robinette Kowal does a serial, then she'll probably do herself.
Yes.
we can probably find some way to make that happen.
It seems to me that this is most intriguing because it's bringing a certain amount of corporate confidence to works of non-traditional length. And obviously digital only or digital primary is a huge part of allowing that to happen. But it's interesting to me that this method is almost as nostalgic as it is forward looking. You know, SF novels of the so-called, you know, golden era are often much shorter than what we read today. I think some people today would even call them novellas and not novels. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it seem like this project could be as a throwback to some degree, Carl?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that made this very palatable to Tom Doherty is that he is immensely nostalgic for the age of the double-sided novella book, which was a very, very popular format, a tremendously popular format, and a format that helped grow the science fiction reading community. But not one that really fits in the current print marketplace, both because I think there's more authors that you want to sell on their own. It's not really a good idea to put them on the back of someone else's book. But also because our tastes, certainly in fantasy, have gone towards either YA or much, much longer epic fantasy. I think there's definitely a page count creep going on.
Tom can speak very eloquently about how so many of the great American novels really are at this smaller page length. And I don't want to put words into Jo Walton's mouth, but I do remember when she did her whole Hugo review, a very long, extensive series of posts about the Hugo Award winners throughout the years. I believe her conclusion was that the novellas really are the things that held up the strongest over the years. And so that was sort of exciting to see as well, and really want to come back to this format that is a really good sort of natural storytelling length that just doesn't really have a market right now. You know, Great Gatsby is a novella, so basically.
Yeah, I'll be very curious to see if, I mean, obviously there are a lot of authors out there that struggle with the time investment, and I use this mostly to refer to authors that are very commercial. I mean, obviously we see people still writing novellas a lot, but a lot of authors that I talk to frequently find that, you know, short fiction, it let's be honest, it just doesn't pay as well as novel length work. And so, you know, the days of when we had writers in America that were making livings on just short fiction are long gone. And so I know a lot of writers have stopped writing, you know, longer short fiction. I mean, you'll still see short fiction works for anthologies and things like that, but the novella, I mean, why not just turn it into a novel? Do you guys hope to create sort of a renaissance of this length? I mean, is that definitely part of the goal of this, is to get people writing it more?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think it's creating a market that will pay for it, and that will promote it and market it. You know, again, like the novellas take up so much space in a print magazine that, you know, there's sort of been a limited market for it. So we are sort of hoping to create a space for it.
What we're hoping is that once we've created this imprint, authors who have a story that feels like it should be a certain length and doesn't really quite fit as a novel will, instead of adding a bunch of plots or whatever, doing whatever it takes to shop it into a novel, realize they have another option. There is someone publishing novellas and treating them like real books at the moment. We're hoping to catch the stories that really belong at novella length, or belong as a serial, or belong as whatever.
Exactly.
Now, in the press release, you know, we've talked a lot about the short works, but in the press release, you do definitely make mention of novels. And you also make mention of a willingness to go on title-by-title basis on seeking a more traditional publishing model with print runs and the whole nine that we see today from Tor Books. You've left the door open for that, seemingly very intentionally. Why?
We want to basically use this as a place to experiment with many different things, even down into like production issues and you know, how the contract is being handled in-house, and we're using it sort of as a petri dish to learn as much as we can and adapt to things and just keep moving forward. So it'd be great if a great novel, you know, comes to our door, we think we can do a lot with it. We're not going to turn it down. We're just going to see how that fits into this line. If it makes sense to print it, it'll be then distributed through Tor Books, but it gives us a chance to treat that title as a lead and really put all of our efforts behind it. A book that might, you know, be in the middle of somebody else's list can be the lead of our list. So there's any number of reasons to just keep wanting to publish good stories first and foremost and learn from it and just try every permutation of publishing stories.
I got to ask you this question, Carl, because I know this is going to come off a little strange and it's going to sound weird at first.
But I'm ready.
All right, good. For me, as somebody who reads, you know, anthologies and collections and other things that include various lengths of fiction, you know, when I consider something that's quote unquote short fiction, I consider it something I can sort of like finish during halftime of a game, sitting on the toilet, waiting for it to go, order at a restaurant. So like when I'm reading Rogues right now, the new anthology from George R.R. Martin and Gardner Dozois. And when I get to the novellas, I like groan because it's not because I don't want to read it, but it's because I know that it's going to take a serious time investment. And so I've almost gotten to the point where the novella is sort of, it's just like a scary length for me. It's like, oh my gosh, do I want to invest all this time into this novella? So I guess kind of what I'm trying to get at is, what does a novella do? And I think this will be a good, this is sort of a question about what is going to be a Tor.com book. And we can get sort of more specific on that in a second. But this first question is like, what does a novella do that a novel doesn't do and that a short story doesn't do? I mean, why does this length exist? I mean, where does it become why does a story fit better at novella length? I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
So I think, first of all, I think I totally get going through an anthology and suddenly realizing the next 150 pages are one thing and being concerned by that. It's not really what you it's not what you want out of that process, right? The novella, part of the reason we're doing them as standalones is so you can really invest in them, which is important to the length. It's important that you think of them as a fuller experience. The novella has to be like a novel in that it has to create a world for you to inhabit for its length. It has to make enough exist in this story that you feel immersed in it and want to keep inhabiting it for as long as it takes to read it. But unlike a novel, it doesn't have time to sprawl. It doesn't have time to go into, you know, seven different perspectives or something like that and treat them fully. It doesn't have time for 100 side plots or whatever in, you know, an epic fantasy series. It needs the emotional concision of a shorter form while presenting a world that you could write a novel or a novel series about, which I think is a beautiful combination of constraints. It requires a very good and, you know, focused kind of world creation and storytelling that hopefully takes the best of both forms.
Damn, Carl, that was a really well thought out answer for off the cuff. I'm impressed.
I've been thinking about it a lot recently. I have
oddly enough,
the first two stories I bought were novelettes, which I think the second one in particular is much closer to a novella in length than a short story. And it's a very different kind of editing. You need to figure out that everything's working on consistency rather than just making every word shine like a gem.
I like that. I just finished, and I bring this up for two reasons, but I just finished the K.J. Parker Academic Exercises collection that's coming out from Subterranean Press very soon. And K.J. Parker writes pretty much exclusively novelettes and novellas. I don't think Parker's ever written what I would call just a short story. And obviously, you know, that's one of those books where I'm a huge K.J. Parker fanboy, and I was able to do what you're talking about, Carl, whereas you really just get invested in the story. It gives you more time to get invested. It helps that all of K.J. Parker's stories are set in the same world. So as I'm reading through it, there's that continuity. But Subterranean Press is interesting in this discussion because obviously they've found a great deal of success publishing novellas. But it's obviously a different model insofar as it's they do a lot of these limited runs and that kind of thing. But I think it's sort of a proof of concept that there's a demand for fiction of this length. Irene, I'm curious about what you saw in the marketplace and whether Subterranean Press is one of the data points or not that makes you think that there's a demand for short. There could be a demand for shorter fiction works in this way. I mean, I have to think that the digital publishing, self-publishing revolution has had something to do with this decision.
Oh, definitely. And, and even just sort of more anecdotally, listening to people on Twitter, you know, every once in a while, a fairly prominent author would say, oh no, I wrote something and it's not a short story and it can't be a novel and I don't know what to do with it now. And sort of just even just listening to people talking about how they're writing and what they're writing, it seemed like there was room for this. And I'd say it just seemed like the natural next step from what we were already doing. It just seemed to be a hole that we could fill.
We've seen certain authors, and this is getting into the realm of deep speculation, but we've seen authors who are having good success, and they're taking their existing worlds into the self-publishing realm. Last week's guest on this show, Brian T. McClellan, is an example of that, of somebody who is writing short stories and novellas in his world and putting them out there and finding some good success, but as we all know, self-publishing comes with its own travails of time investment and money out of your own pocket. And do you anticipate Tor.com being attractive as a publisher to people like that?
I hope so. I mean, I went to the Nebulas last week and I talked to a lot of people about self-publishing, although maybe we don't want to say when things were to podcast land. Yeah, I talked to a lot of people about self-publishing and what it takes to be a self-published author who's successful. And I worked for a while at an agency, so I sometimes heard people, you know, get a little snooty who wanted to self-publish and wanted to destroy all the gatekeepers and whatever, and that's not what's going to happen. It's entirely possible to be a successful self-published author. And if you do, you'll probably make a lot more money than you would with traditional publishing. But to do that, you need to be able to spend 60 hours a week on your book. You need to be your marketing, your publicity team, your sales team. You need to be able to figure out your contracts. You need everything. You need to also be able to write with all that on your shoulders. And most people can't do that. The thing that I hope Tor.com will provide is a very small focused team with an apparatus behind them that gives the accessibility, the kind of focus that people who get burnt on traditional publishing want to go to self-publishing miss, while also, you know, knowing what they're doing and letting the authors write as much as they should be able to.
Yeah, exactly. And that is where this very simplified contract, I think, will come in. I think it will be attractive to people that want to do the self-publishing, but maybe don't, you know, really want to spend all the money on those other issues, or spend the time on all those other issues. So, yeah, we do hope that this sort of attracts people that want to try new things.
Well, and it does. I mean, everybody in the business is trying new things right now. So it's mm-hmm. I think it'll be exciting to see a publisher, especially one of Tor Macmillan's size and history, to be willing to take this sort of creative step. And we all recognize in a world where we're watching what's going on with Hachette right now and other challenges that they're having with various distribution right. networks, who shall remain nameless, that just doing things the way we've always done them isn't gonna get us real far. Now, Irene, in today's announcement, you mentioned that Tor.com will be bringing on a senior editor, will be bringing on a publicity person, a marketing person, etc. So this may be a really challenging question to answer until that senior editor is hired. But I'm curious about what direction, and this is a question I asked of Joe Monti when we talked about Saga Press, and as the executive editor, it was perhaps easier for him to answer, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway, which is, what do you think a Tor.com book will be? What will be the editorial direction that Tor.com is going to want to take, do you think?
I think it's definitely going to be a little bit more commercial than what we've been doing. We've been doing these fantastic stories, and we're so incredibly proud of them. These do have to work more in the marketplace. So I do think we're going to go more core science fiction and fantasy than we have been on the site. But we still want them to be smart books and engaging. And, I'm sure we're going to want one of those contradictions of being as sort of broad and welcoming as possible, but I would still love for it to have a very strong voice and for people to want to, just sort of be interested in each title because it's coming from us and sort of knows that it will have a certain level of quality and entertainment attached to it. So that's sort of what we're thinking now. But yes, we will be hiring. We have a lot of interviewing to do because we're going to be hiring basically a publishing company in the next couple of weeks to months. So it's going to be fun. Carl, I don't know if you want to add anything since already having thought about editorial issues for this.
I'm not sure. I mean, so I am keeping my mind open. I don't know what the editor above me will want. I don't want to get, ideas in my head. I know what I like. So I understand fantasy much more than science fiction. But I think, we want the smart, we want smart versions of the, I think, popular kind of jaunty iterations of the genres. So, kind of encapsulable space operas and smart sword and sorcery and stuff like that, rather than, really, really sprawling navel-gazing epic fantasy or, the kind of really out there stories we might put on the site, although we love those.
So, Carl, I have a manuscript with a pig farmer who's rescued by a hooded figure and then taken to defeat the Dark Lord. Are you interested?
I think I've heard that story before. So I think there might be a copyright issue.
fine. If you just want to discourage all of us inspired epic fantasists out there.
I'm just saying, man, you really owe it to yourself to read The Pig Farmer Goes West.
All right.
You're missing out.
Pig farmers need not apply, perhaps.
I mean, so I'm not committing us to a slush pile or anything, but I remember from reading Slush that anything that felt like I'd read it more than once before, was much less likely to read again. I think that we're going to want to, part of being commercial is telling stories that people aren't sick to death of.
Very good.
I think that's an interesting point. I think when we hear commercial fiction, often people will assume that means things like what they've read before rather than things they don't know they want yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're using the term commercial fiction, I think you're putting yourself in the latter camp, correct?
I think that the sustainable commercial fiction model that we might want to go after is, taking small steps forward on the genre, but not standing still where everyone else is, right? Like, not taking steps that will shock people and make them think that we're abandoning the genre entirely, but being a little surprising.
Yeah, we want people to be excited about each new release, and I think that is how you do that.
Okay, so Carl, you just mentioned that you weren't committing the imprint to a slush pile. Fair enough. But
I have no power to do that.
But what I but what I'm curious about, and I think a lot of people will be curious about, and this is a two-part question. The first part is how should people be at the, right now communicating with Tor.com if they're interested in submitting something? And second, when can we expect the first Tor.com imprint title to hit the streets, or the digital streets, as it were?
The cold hard digital streets.
They can certainly contact Carl about submissions, and his email address will be on the site today and various other places. Beyond that, we're just gonna talk to agents and talk to authors we know and hire a senior editor as quickly as we can. When we can hit the streets, pretty much as soon as we can. One of the neat things about this too is that within publishing, we're still working with these very glacial schedules that deal with seasons, even though publishing doesn't really work seasonally anymore. We're still sort of trapped in this system. So one of the fun things we'll be able to do is be much more nimble about when we schedule things and how quickly we can get things out the door. So we're kind of hoping by the end of the year we'll start having some things, not a full list by then, but just start publishing.
Are there any limits at this point, or any sort of thinking about how large the list will be?
We're hoping once we're up and running, it'll be about 30, 35 titles, but clearly we're going to have to ease into that. We're all also going to be working with other editors besides Carl and whoever it is we do get to hire. Patrick Nielsen Hayden will still be contributing. In fact, anybody from Tor Books is welcome too, and our usual consulting editors and. Will also be helping us out on this.
I, for one, just want to say how exciting it is to see another imprint come into the market. We haven't, with Saga coming out, obviously that was sort of a long thing people had been waiting for with Simon & Schuster, but it's an imprint doing things the way things have been done for a long time. So I think there's going to be a lot of excitement over this, and I think even more important than that, senior editor might be getting that publicist to answer everybody's damn questions.
Yes, that's true. Good point.
Because I have a feeling in the short term, poor Irene Gallo is publisher and publicist at this point.
Pretty much, yes. Art director, marketing. We have a lot of good help in-house, though, and we've had and the people at Tor have been fantastic, and everybody's very excited about this. So we have people helping us out.
Now, Irene, on a personal note, you are going to continue to do the art direction for Tor Books, be publisher at Tor.com and the art for Tor.com, and being this role with the imprint.
Yes. Somehow. and I'm sure it'll be fine. The staffs that I have on both sides of this, on the Tor Books art department staff is incredible. And the Tor.com staff is just amazing. And we're going to be hiring.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Every last person is just phenomenal. It really, it's such a cliche, but it really is just such a pleasure to go to work every day. And we're going to be hiring this other staff. I will be hiring an art person for the imprint because I think that would just stretch things too thin, and it'd be great to have somebody completely dedicated to that. Of course, it's going to be a very hard job for me to hire. It's going to be a heartbreaking job for me, but I'm actually looking. Knowing how I work with the current art department, I'm actually looking forward to finding somebody that's just as talented and excited about the genre. So I think it'll work out. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Corporate is very, very good about supporting us and making sure we're okay. So I'm sure it'll all work out in the end.
I, for one, am a little concerned about your office. I know there's already quite a few art prints sort of leaned against the wall and such.
They're not prints. Those are originals.
Originals. Okay.
Well, every one of them.
I'm just a little worried about where the additional stuff's going to go.
Yes. Actually, oddly enough, we do have space. The Flatiron building is horrific for finding space, but we do have space carved out for the new people. And I never, didn't think of it, but I could take over their wall space before they get here, so they have no say in what their decor is. It'll be all that my poor paintings are on the floor.
I like it. And Carl, will you continue doing the same things you're doing now for Tor.com, the website?
I think that I will. There's some things that may eventually get phased out. It's not really, you know, up to me. I am really excited about buying short fiction for there. I love doing it. The amount that I'm able to when I'm handling an expanding list, we'll see. Right.
It'll we suspect it'll segue out in some sort of natural course of time.
Will you continue to write the Stormlight Archive?
No one can stop me from continuing to write the Stormlight Archive, especially me. So
no one. Way to thumb your nose at corporate, Carl. I like it. Beat the man.
I can't believe
remember the especially me part.
Yeah, Irene, you're a suit now. Sorry.
Oh, man, that was terrible. I know when I just called, like, some really great people corporate, and that's terrible. Sorry, Fritz.
Oh, well, that's how it goes. Well, congratulations on the new imprint. I think this is an exciting time, and I think that in the coming days, as you announce more information, everybody's going to be really stoked. So,
I'd encourage people, you know, ask questions on the site, and we'll try to keep up with answering them, and... yeah, it's fun. We're excited. We're very excited.
Is there going to be a launch party?
You know what? There will, but we haven't settled the date yet, although I think it'll be July.
All right. Well, yes. This has been Rocket Talk on Tor.com, The Imprint. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.